Hello again, kids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio numbered 473. This is Kevin DeFrango. Down south, ready to get drenched, is Jeremy Mays. What is going on, good sir?
Oh, I'm getting ready to get blown away by these 30 to 40 mile an hour winds we may get. 300 miles inland. So, yeah.
We just had 5 inches of rain this past weekend. That was not fun.
We're supposed to, honestly, they're saying we may get 20 inches of rain. And, yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's going to suck. Like, 5 inches over the course, between Saturday and Sunday, it pretty much rained about 40 of 48 hours. And we only had 5. I can only imagine getting quadruple that amount in the same time period.
The only thing we have to worry about is if the winds, they predicted 80 mile an hour winds at one point, and I was like, that's not good. And then it's gone down, but we've got that dead tree in the front yard, like one of the giant oak.
Yeah.
And Duke Energy is going to remove it for us, so sweet, save us $4,000 or $5,000. And for anybody who has never had a tree cut down, that's not an exaggeration.
Oh no, that's expensive.
It's absolutely mind-boggling how much it costs. But they haven't gotten to it. So they're like, hey, do you guys want to get to it by Thursday or Friday? Now they pushed it back to Friday. That'd be really nice and very cost-effective. So, but yeah, it is what it is. There's no bread. It's like winter down here. There's no bread and milk in the stores.
Yeah,
but bread itself is gross. Like, just little flat pieces of bread, like Wonder Bread, that stuff is nasty. A sandwich bread, sure. Like, a sub roll, you know, hoagie roll, something like that. Yeah, you eat that, but outside of 7-year-olds, who eats a flat piece of bread?
I eat a flat piece of bread all the damn time. What are you talking about?
What did I just say? I hate that squishy shit. Ugh,
it is cost effective. You said that. It's cost effective.
Yeah, I generally try to limit my intake of bread. Period. But yeah, so I'm not going to be eating any of that white stuff. That's that's okay.
A good piece of sourdough, I can see.
Oh yes, sourdough is way different than
bread or something. Fuck off. Ugh.
Well, and he already did make an appearance, vocally at least. I guess we should say that Chris Kalamita, I don't think he has any weather problems up north in Michigan.
Not at the moment. No. It's pretty nice here. It's just a little cooler, but it'll get back up to the 80s this weekend, maybe for the last time, but who knows? We get 80s up here, we get 80s up all the way to October, even November at times, so I'm not looking for any severe weather up here. Hopefully until late in the year, if not early next year, that would be nice. No, I. Although there was one really bad flood years ago when a river overflowed. But otherwise, I don't have to worry about hurricanes up here.
No, well, I mean, especially up there, the heavens are opening up as well. Steve Eiserman's coming home. So, yeah,
Oh, okay.
He's going to stay in an advisory role with the Tampa Bay. Yeah, sure you are. Hey, guys, I advise you to find somebody to replace my advisory role because I'm out of here. Because the Wings are finally going to get rid of Ken Holland and get a guy in who's actually with the current state of the game. Wow. Thank God. Now we need Lions to move. And then we can get an expansion team that'll get to the Super Bowl in 5 years. That'd be sweet. Fucking train wrecks. You don't even get like mad about the Lions, to be completely honest. Who cares?
It's been they have been bad for a really long time with like what, a handful of playoff appearances, I'd wager to say. Maybe slightly over a handful since Barry Sanders.
Well, they got there once with Barry. They had an incredible offensive team. I mean, I know it sounds stupid, but I mean, Scott Mitchell was no pushover back then. They had Barry Sanders, obviously, Herman Moore, Brett Perryman, oh my God, who's the big receiver? Herman Moore.
Well, yeah, you already covered him. I was trying to think of who the secondary receiver was.
Johnny Morton, Brett Perryman.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were stacked.
Yep.
And they've got, actually Caldwell took him to the playoffs 2 out of his 4 years he was there. And that team last night, I don't know if they're allowed to say the word playoffs. That was embarrassing.
Well,
what's that asshole fireman jet guy, whatever his name is?
Oh,
Fireman Ed?
Yeah.
That fucking doofus comes out of retirement to show up in Detroit. I mean, I'm not for violence. Well, yeah, I am, but, you know, if the guy got mugged on the way home, oh well, you deserve it, jackass. Go back to New Jersey where your New York team plays, you cuck.
Oh, well, I think we'd have to say that the show is off to a roaring success already.
Yeah. I'm not on very often. I gotta get it all out when I'm on.
Yeah, well, I'm still can't believe the fact that I am actually excited that the Steelers tied, because when your quarterback commits 5 turnovers in a game and your team as a whole commits 6 of them, you should lose 100% of the time. Somehow the Browns found a way to not win the game.
Yeah, and when our quarterback only committed 4, and, you know, they lost badly. So, luckily we played the Cleveland Browns, who can't do anything right. So,
yeah, there are definitely some improvement areas for the Browns. That Myles Garrett is going to cause some headaches for some people's. Because he definitely caused some headaches for the Steelers' offensive line.
Yeah, well, as he should. What, number one pick?
Yeah. I think he got injured near the beginning of last season, and I don't think he, at least from the looks of that game, he just wasn't really healthy last season.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is a development worth watching in Browns land. It looks like they might at least have one really good defensive player. So, that's good news for them, I suppose. But
yeah,
anyway, that was really terrible. You really, really should win a game when you receive 6 turnovers.
Well, that's why they're winless.
Yep.
So, screw them.
So I guess enough with football talk, but I mean, we've all kind of agreed before the show started, not a banner week for the WWE as far as their product goes. I guess the one thing that I was going to talk about is the only thing maybe worth talking about, which is Renee Young getting a full-time gig at the commentary desk on Raw. I mean, I think that's a positive development. I don't know if I have any special hatred of Coach necessarily, but whatever was happening there was just not working with him and Cole and Graves. Like, the whole team was not meshing. Like, if they insist on a 3-person booth, which they do, you know, Coachman just really, yeah, I don't know. Like, he definitely brought a different angle to things, and it worked out well when he stopped doing the word of the hour. That seemed to help. But you know, I don't know. He just never got in a good flow with those guys, and I think Renee Young can fit in with them better, and she's definitely more hip and of the demographic that, you know, they're kind of after, honestly. You know, they've always been looking for younger faces on commentary, and yeah, Michael Cole's been there a long ass time. What did he say? It was 22 years?
Yes.
So, I mean, he's not a young guy anymore. And they definitely have two young faces in there right now that I would imagine that will be there for a long time, along with Tom Phillips, who I would imagine at least has a decade or so on Michael Cole in the youth department.
I would hope.
I would say a couple.
Yeah, no, I was fine with Renee Young getting the job up. She's good. I mean, this isn't meant as to bag on her, but she's not going to be worse than Coachman. She's not going to be worse than Byron Saxton. So this is almost the perfect time to put her in, isn't it? I mean, let her grow and then go, well, it's Renee Young. She's likable, which helps. And, yeah, she can't be any worse than the bozos they've got on Color or whatever those that supposedly is on the other shows. So.
No, she, from where she's at right now, she can only get better. This is her third time on commentary. So she might be a little more timid at certain points, might be relying on Cole and Graves, but, you know, but going forward, she'll only get more comfortable. Coachman has been doing this off and on for over 15 years. Really. I mean, granted, he was gone for a long time, but, you know, and he has pretty much, on this run, regressed. And he was never all that good in the first place. He inserted quips where they didn't belong. He had, you know, he would ask dumb questions. He would say things that aren't supposed to be said, as far as like tipping the hat of where an angle is going at certain points. Yeah, I don't know if the guy's got issues, you know, with his head or anything, because all those times they threw him in the ring untrained in his previous run, but there were times where the guy just seemed completely out to lunch. He had terrible chemistry with Colin Graves. You know, at least with Renee there, it helps with the worst of what Corey Graves does, which is he's got a less intelligent or a partner that he doesn't have all that much respect for, or even maybe even the case of him. I don't even know what his relationship with Byron Saxton is. They might be best friends in real life, but he's not really good at, Graves is not good at banter. Telling your partners to shut up and calling them an idiot in his role is not what you're supposed to do. It's not what the play-by-play color analyst, you know, relationship is supposed to be like. Yes, back in the day, Monsoon would tell Enid to shut up all the time, but that worked, as Monsoon was the babyface, and he was a lot bigger than Enid. Why doesn't Coach or Saxton just punch Graves in the face at a certain point?
See, right, I gotta disagree with you real quick, and it's maybe it's a matter of semantics. Monsoon never told Enid to shut up. He would always say, would you stop? Or you're being ridiculous, or something like that. But he would never tell him to stop talking, though. So that allowed Bobby Heenan to come back. but you're right, though. When Graves tells Saxton or whoever to shut up, there's nowhere else to go from there. Like, what are you supposed to say? I will not shut up. Like, hey, nerd. Like,
then they're just Then they're just yelling at each other in commentary. But again, it's. You know, and you can tell that Graves and Renee Young, well, each of them on any social media, they're always hanging out, you know, before and after shows. You know, they have a good relationship. Maybe at a certain point, it'll feel too cozy of a relationship behind the booth with the three of them, with no tension at all. But at this point, there's no one all that funny anymore. There's no straight heel announcer. You know, maybe it might be time to retire that completely and just have a straight broadcast team that doesn't yell at each other at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, oh, never mind. I was going to try and shoehorn something in. But I was going to say, well, I mean, if you want funny, I mean, we got the New Day for funny commentary. So.
Yeah, their commentary stints are probably not the best of their work.
I don't know why you'd say that. whenever they go to them, it's three grown men just yelling. Now, unless that's the gimmick they're going for, okay.
Yeah, I have not been a fan of this version of New Day that has come up since this whole pancake thing started. We're crossing some lines, and I hate to say it like this, but I don't want to question these men's integrity, but if someone wants to say they're crossing the line into black guys, doing whatever kind of entertainment, stereotypical entertainment to make white people laugh, I won't disagree with that. It has crossed a line to me. I mean, before they were doing some kind of really smart stuff, but now it's just childish crap.
Well, it's funny too, because
what's his name? What's Kofi Kingston's name? Backstage guy? Like, it's not even, he's not even cutting jokes, which is what threw me off today. Like, there were no jokes to be had there. He was just saying things, and I was like, is the voice supposed to be funny? Or is, like, because they do that on Up, Up, Down, Down, and then, like, every time, like, the Usos do it, they do it, and it's like, all right, maybe not everyone watches Up, Up, Down, Down, because, I mean, it's got over a million viewers, or a million subscribers, whatever, so it's like, someone's watching this thing, but I was just I'm very confused, like, someone's thinking this is good, huh? All right, I mean, maybe it's me, but I guess maybe it's not, too. Get back to the Renee Young thing. I'm all for it. She's good. She's good on the Mae Young Classic, even though Shahid and I talked about the Mae Young, and they don't need three announcers for that because they're stepping all over each other. But when they're not, they make decent points. So, I mean, you might as well I'm going to say this, but it's also only 50-50 now, but if you're going to feature the women more, having a woman's voice on the show is a good idea. And if you're going to pick somebody, well, of all the available women announcers or commentators you could choose, she's the best one. So, go for it, man. I mean, good for her. Now they just need to have her acknowledge, yeah, my husband was in jail again, or something like that. That would be kind of funny instead of her basically being silent whenever Dean Ambrose is on TV.
Well, that was the one thing that I did notice. I'm like, hold on, weren't they? Because I did like that Samoa Joe was continuing his gimmick, at least on Twitter, and congratulating himself for Renee getting a more secure income for their household. Oh man, I got a kick out of that. She was really silent about the stuff that Dean Ambrose was talking about this week, and I did find that kind of interesting. I'm like, oh, they're not gonna, like, I figured Graves would just go for it at that point, honestly. And he just kind of let the situation slide for the most part.
Yeah. That is a situation where, they can have a little bit more attention to their relationship. If Graves is going to root against Ambrose, and then she'll, everyone knows that they're married. It's okay for her to have a bias in that one match. They're both essentially splitting color duties. So, it's okay for one to be pro babyface, the other to be pro heel. In that regard, I know this completely contradicts what I just said 5 minutes ago, but oh well. So, yeah, in those situations, I think you got to own it. Everyone knows they're married. They played up that they're married before. It's silly to have her be silent during those situations. Now, I know that there's a situation where he's being beaten up severely. You don't want her, shrieking and squealing about it, I guess, but she can still, show her, the bias towards her husband. I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah, let her acknowledge it. I mean, for God's sake, that was an angle on SmackDown, and then it was an angle, and I'm sorry, not an angle, but it's openly acknowledged on their number one hit TV show, Total Divas. So, you know, what's the harm? It makes, among other things, it makes the product look stupid. Like, you've gone out of your way to acknowledge this, now all of a sudden just no, nothing? Like, by not saying anything, you're basically acknowledging the fact that, yeah, well, we're just going to ignore it because we don't want to, even though we've perpetrated the whole thing. But anyway, it's just not about them, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I do think that that'll probably be something that gets cleared up in the future, I would hope. You know, because,
yeah.
I mean, he's going to be around and he's part of, like, one of the biggest groups ever. So, you know, it's not like he's going to go away like Zack Ryder or something.
What?
Yeah, exactly. The guy on Main Event.
What's Main Event?
Oh, all right, well, you beat me to that one, but I was actually going to ask, is that for real? He's really on Main Event?
Probably.
Oh, okay. Dick. All right. I cannot remember the last time, maybe I'm a bad wrestling fan, I cannot remember the last time I watched Main Event. And I'm being serious, is that on the network?
Yes.
It's on the network, but it's 4 weeks, it's on a 4 week delay because it's on regular TV in the UK.
Wait, it's not on regular TV here?
No, it hasn't been on regular TV here in years.
Oh, that would explain why I haven't seen it. So...
Yeah.
That's how little, I mean, honestly, I guess that's how little I cared about it, that I didn't even know that.
There's no reason to care about it, no.
I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, because you can find everything on YouTube, so regardless of whatever they want to try and do with copyright and that, but... Yeah, that's too bad, but whatever. But then, yeah, it was funny because they just had him on table for three. So, no.
Oh, anyways. Yeah. They acknowledged his greatness and what he brought to their product, but they continue to ignore that contribution by burying him in the middle of nowhere.
True. Well,
but hey, anyways. He's getting a paycheck and getting probably paid very well to keep himself in shape. So I guess there are worse jobs to have.
Yeah, no kidding. That'd be pretty nice. Now, I don't know. Real quick, since we mentioned Dean Ambrose, I told you this today, Kevin, like, the whole Shield angle thing doesn't really make sense to me, but especially the using the police to blackmail Baron Corbin, I got a kick out of that because I just like Dean Ambrose at the end telling the cop, well, I'm going to call you next time I'm in jail. I don't know why I got such a kick out of that, but I did, and then I just realized, well, yeah, because he's always been, he hasn't always, but he's the crazy one of the group, and then he does have the little tendency to get himself over his head, so, yeah, but the big thing is, he came back, and he never got a chance to talk.
Oh.
He's been back since SummerSlam. I can't remember one promo he's had. Like legitimate promo. Him talking about an issue that he's involved in. It's always Seth or Roman.
Yeah, he has been really silent since his return. I hadn't thought about it, honestly.
Yeah.
But, yeah. now that you mention it, it's just like, oh, yeah. And even really that, like, that wasn't much of anything. And it was kind of interesting that they played him a little bit, well, I mean, I guess he's kind of serious if he's the one always getting in jail. But he was cracking wise again. And I guess that was just kind of interesting because of his, if they're going to change his personality, since they've certainly changed how they talk about him on commentary. Even if, you know, Renee Young had that blind spot, they've really kind of played up his bulking up on commentary. And it didn't seem to change the character all that much, at least to this juncture.
The haircut and the muscle mass he added, that confuses people, at least didn't recognize him. She goes, "Who's the guy with the beard?" I go, "It's Dean Ambrose." She goes, "Huh?" I'm like, "Yeah, he actually got his arm fixed so we can work out again. Because he was basically old Jeff Hardy skinny. And then, you know, then he finally got put on the show for a few months. So did nothing but good things for him. Because he looks so much healthier now. And it's not the haircut either. So, but.
Does the haircut help?
Because, like I said, the rest of that angle still doesn't make all that much sense to me. So.
No, it doesn't make sense at all that if Baron Corbin filed a false police report in Columbus, Ohio, what the hell does the sheriff of New Orleans have to do with any of that?
Well, what was the law that he said that they had that it's kind of tricky?
Napoleonic law.
Yeah, is that a real thing? I didn't look it up.
I did not look it up either. Right. I did not care.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's possible. They do call their areas parishes, and they might work a little bit differently, but Napoleonic law seems kind of old to be rolling by.
Yeah, it's New Orleans, who knows? Because the shit we see that goes on there, that, whatever.
Yep. Well, that's why I figured it was a possibility.
Yeah. But outside of like Renee Young going on commentary, like main product WWE, like NXT doesn't count, Mae Young doesn't count. I don't even know what Mae Young falls under. I mean, it's not the NXT banner. It's just the tournament. So
yeah, and I mean there are a lot of talents that are just there for the tournament, but not in the system at all.
Yeah. And I had done so well avoiding all of the results, and someone posted a possible Evolution card, and instead of just saying winner of the Mae Young Classic final on it, it actually had the participants, and I just went, all this time not ruining it. And just maybe one, like, lapse judgment. So, I can't say I'm surprised by who's in the final. But
oh, right.
It just sucks. Oh, well. So, because I don't even know. Even the UK stuff, I don't know who won any of that stuff either. Like, I purposely didn't see any of that because I wanted to watch it and enjoy it. But, oh, well.
Yeah, I think I inadvertently saw the winner of the women's UK tournament. Because both of those ones, I never actively seek out spoilers. And that was one where using Twitter more just kind of killed me. I'm like, aw, son of a bitch. I was like, ah. But, yep. You know, whatever. I'll still watch the matches because I guess if I do want to talk about something that is something that I enjoyed from the WWE this week. Yeah, I mean, I did like the first week of the Mae Young Classic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing with the Mae Young Classic, and honestly, anything Triple H does, he treats it like the audience isn't a goddamn moron. Like, there's continuity to what they're doing. There's, you know, there's rhyme and reason to everything. Even if it's a small wink and a nod, like Nikki Cross, like this whole thing with on NXT with Regal interviewing people. Why the hell is he interviewing anybody? Shouldn't the cops be doing this, or do the cops not exist in NXT? Because he brings in all these people, and Lars Sullivan's like, "It's not me. I do it." Blah blah blah. All right. And Nikki Cross, God bless her, just saying that she knows, but just won't tell him. And then starts spinning in her chair, or starts spinning on the desk.
In her chair.
Starts her crawling across the desk.
She's great. Yeah. Like, just all that sort of stuff that just cracked me up. Like, this is so stupid, but in the world of NXT, it works. Because Regal's not a moron who just goes, well, you guys, you know, someone attacks and we don't know who it is, and then suddenly it just plays out on TV. Like, wait, what? That's not how that works. If you're the GM, you know, someone says, yeah, I attacked you and put you on the shelf, well, you're out of here for a while. You don't get rewarded for it. But that's logic, and that's not what happened. That's honestly not what happens on the WWE cards or stories now, which has been driving me insane lately. So,
yeah, I guess I hadn't. I'm trying to think. I feel like there was. I believe I enjoyed SummerSlam, so something happened after that. That things have gone a little sideways. I mean, there's some things here and there that I've enjoyed, but I know I said last week with Chris that I kind of regretted not going to Raw because they had the big Undertaker HBK showdown.
Yes.
But this week, oh my God! If I would have skipped that, I would have been like, oh, thank God. Like, it did strike me as kind of crazy that they only had one Raw recap for Hell in a Cell on SmackDown this week. Like,
They did it all on Raw.
Yeah, they did them all on Raw for SmackDown. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, that really, for that live audience, that, oh man, I just felt bad for them. You know, if you have one of them, that's fine. Like, they had three of them, and they were all kind of long, too.
Mm-hmm. What, you mean Joe right, reciting a bedtime story? Didn't do it for you?
That was great. I like it when they go to the production, length of production with stuff like that. But, of course, it was just a tape segment that didn't go anywhere else.
See, I like production segments like that. I just hate this entire storyline. Because AJ in his Jordache Jeans commercial segment made it, he'd start talking about Joe, he's like, after 20 years of friendship, he threw it away. And I'm like, when the hell were you guys friends in WWE? Like, they never acknowledged that you guys used to be friends. It's never been brought up before. Well, how about we just base this feud off of that? That Joe's so, you know, obsessed with the WWE title that he threw away your friendship. Instead, we got Joe going after his wife and kids. I was like, this is stupid. Well, Chris, we talked about this when it first happened. That it didn't even see, it's not even necessary.
I was with that, but, after SummerSlam, I got with it. Joe is just so, like, I know it's cartoonish evil, but Joe just has that voice that when he does get into his creepy, you know, Wendy voice, like, I enjoy that. I think the story has taken a good turn since SummerSlam for me.
Yeah, see, it's the same old. I don't like it still.
I've turned around on it too. Like, just because it is a continued. Like, I thought that they were going to, if they had stopped it at SummerSlam, it wouldn't have made sense for an extended feud. I'm completely cool with this being part of the storyline. Because, I mean, they're not even a Hell in a Cell match, so I don't even think that it's going to end here.
They're already booked for Super Showdown in 3 weeks later.
See, I was waiting for this to have the stipulation that AJ can't get disqualified. You know, that AJ can lose his title on a disqualification. So I was very surprised with this. Like, this is just another normal match where AJ can get disqualified. Like, this doesn't make any sense. the whole buildup is that AJ's going to lose his cool, and, you know, can probably just go after Joe again with a chair, get disqualified, keep his title again. This seemed to be the place where that stipulation would be added.
Yeah, but... And I guess this is where things are kind of weird, or why I think that feud didn't get in Hell in a Cell, obviously, is because Orton and Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy are the ones on SmackDown that are going in this cell. I mean, at least based on the level of attack that Randy Orton perpetrated on Jeff Hardy... It makes some sense to have that in a cell, but it's also weird when it's not the title match, or even a longer standing grudge match. Like, it just popped up on the radar.
Yeah,
as I said, the violence kicked up really quickly on this feud. I mean. If someone tries to rip your ear off, you're not going to be wanting to have a grappling contest with them. So it does fit the level of violence of the feud. I mean, we all know Jeff Hardy's going to do some crazy ass shit during this match. It's already been written. you know, he's coming off that damn cell. We know this. it's one of the things Jeff has always said. He's always said he wanted to do a Hell in a Cell match before he retires. It feels like we might be heading towards that. Both Hardys might be out of the ring by the end of this year or early next year. I think that Jeff is knocking this off of his bucket list.
And if they both are, because Matt especially, guys, that's been painful to watch. And I'm not even disrespecting Matt in this. He looked just like he was in just serious pain all the time. And so, like, him, you know, retiring, or seemingly retiring, I should say. It's not official, but he's already been working as an agent. And Jeff been complaining about his back. And of course, when he does a swanton and, you know, hits the ring apron, like, I think, what, 2 days later when he's. Says how he doesn't do the swanton much anymore.
And then Steve Williams gets two million views on a Twitter video over the next week. But yeah, as we know, Jeff has wanted to jump off that cell for 20 years, probably.
Oh God!
And they're finally gonna let him in. I worry about that one. That's not just Shane McMahon coming off straight with an elbow. Jeff's going to try to do the swanton.
Yeah.
He has to make a full rotation and then go through a table that Randy Orton probably will not be on. He's not an idiot.
yeah, he... Randy Orton has one person in mind at all times, and that's Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
And good for him, I suppose. But yeah, I guess that's what, to me, like, I'm cool. I guess I understand the circumstances with Jeff and probably retiring, but to go back to my point, I guess, I think it makes that Samoa Joe AJ Styles match awkward because, you know, if you do add that stipulation, do they ratchet up the violence in the next one too? I mean, I guess they can. But, that match put the other match into a really strange spot.
Yeah, cause I can see where you're coming from on that one, actually. the main feud, well, I mean, I guess it's the main feud, I don't know, it's not main event in SmackDown at all, but, you know, like, their main feud is getting kind of bumped. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it's kind of interesting because you don't think about it a lot, and Randy Orton, I guess, kind of has a point. Like, I mean, this almost is a match because, yeah, if Jeff is going to be gone, like, it is one of those matches that, you know, it's especially match. Like, it's a Brock Lesnar match, except these guys are kind of on the roster all the time. You know, yeah. I mean, it's a real Legends matchup. I guess maybe I should equate it more, at least on Raw, it would be Undertaker and Triple H. Like, I guess I could still see Jeff Hardy maybe every blue moon coming back for a match. But, yeah, him not doing weekly TV, like, that was one thing that, honestly, when they came back, I was really surprised at the frequency that they were wrestling, period, end of sentence.
Yes, I'm with you on that one, too. I thought they would be a novelty, or not novelty, but a specialty. I mean, it can't be novelty when you're a tag type, when you have a tag champ. Well, I mean, Brock Lesnar kind of was. That's not bagging on him either. He just was, I guess. So
right.
That works. But... No, I think going back to what you said, though, about SummerSlam, that part of part of the problem was their biggest babyface, they decided to turn heel. Like, it all made sense. Like, you know, Braun wins Money in the Bank, cashes in, whatever else, and, you know, here we go. Okay, so the Shield, we get the cool thing with the Shield reunion. It prevents Braun, so you're like, all right, it's going to be a little bit of a chase. Cool. Well, then all of a sudden, they turn Braun heel. Or at least they're trying to turn him heel by aligning him with Galloway and, I'm sorry, McIntyre. Can I stop saying it? McIntyre and Ziggler. And you're like, wait, what? Why is the guy we like a lot with these guys that we're not supposed to like? Wait, are you trying to turn him bad? Because Roman's the guy getting booed all the time. Like, wait, what's going on here? And I think it just kind of got disjointed from there. And now we have all the heels ganging up, which I actually like that. Like, I liked all the heels working together. Remind me of the old days. But then when the faces don't show up, then whatever. But I think that's what it is. Like, it, and especially with the fans like us, we can all see, like, all kind of see what's coming. Like, no one wants to see Braun lose the Money in the Bank to Roman. Like, all of us, like, fans like us, you know?
Right.
Because that's what all of this seems like. They just turned Braun just so Roman can beat him. And if Roman beats him, then who the hell does he have left to face?
Well,
actually, I guess.
Who the hell did Braun have to face? Who the hell did babyface monster champion Braun Strowman ever have to face? That was your problem when Braun finally beat Brock. Or beat Roman, or what have you.
Well, he could go back against Roman again. Are we talking about if Roman... Wait a minute, you lost me on that, I'm sorry.
If Braun had cashed in Money in the Bank, okay, on either Brock or Roman or whatever,
gosh,
and we've got this monster babyface rocking around with the title...
Yeah.
Who does he face then?
Well, he's got Roman. He obviously has to face again. That'll be at least two or three pay-per-views, or whatever they're called. You got Lashley waiting there, too. And then on the heel side, that's where I was disappointed with what they did with the Kevin Owens thing. Like, I never, obviously Owens physically was never going to be on the same level, but they turned Owens into, like, this basically a coward. And yes, I mean, you know, the way Braun was treating him, yeah, kind of sucks. I mean, you're a little scared. But you would have had Owens there at least for one, because that's what AJ was doing, like one-offs here and there. And then eventually, you know, they're going to get back to Roman, and that's okay. But I don't know. Like, Roman right now, if he beats Braun, he does not have anyone left. I guess McIntyre, if they want to push him. But I don't really know who else it would have.
Right.
You know?
But
it's kind of a weird predicament. I can see where you're coming from, though.
It is a weird predicament. But they've already announced they're going to do the six-man in Australia. on the 6th. Then no one, then no Raw or SmackDown men are on pay-per-view again until Survivor Series, which will, I don't know if they're going to go with the Raw versus SmackDown theme, where we're going to do some, you know, some elimination matches. There's been talk that they'll do a Team Angle versus Team Corbin for the control of Raw at Survivor Series, and, you know, Roman and Braun can be on the opposite sides of that. So then you're getting into, you don't have to have a new opponent for Roman until, or Braun for that matter, until December, which that's just a throwaway show. So then you're setting up through the, you know, for Royal Rumble and through the beginning of next year through WrestleMania. So maybe it's not as big of a deal. I mean, in either direction, maybe it wouldn't have been as big of a deal with what's coming. Well, the direction that they're going allows for the Shield to have that six-man tag on the Showdown show, on the show that's being sold on Triple H versus Undertaker, so you don't have to worry about Roman defending Universal title. And then Survivor Series is either going to be, you know, Team Elimination deal or the Raw versus SmackDown gimmick. Once again, as I said, you don't have to really worry about a new opponent until at least December.
That's kind of impressive.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. But that makes a whole lot of sense. But yeah, and I guess I'd go back to one of Jeremy's points. I do kind of like the one part of the angle with Owens, you know, gaining revenge for his good friend Sami Zayn on Bobby Lashley. It definitely gives both of them something to do. And that, I guess that was the other interesting part of Raw. I'm not sure if it's good or bad, but is Leo Rush really going to be his hype man for Bobby Lashley?
That came out of nowhere to me.
Oh, wow.
Just like Drake Maverick and AOP. Like, heh? I'm not against it, I don't think. I don't know. Leo Rush has got a ton of personality, so
yeah.
The more he's on, fine with me.
Yeah, he's got a ton of personality. As a worker, he was never going to get off of 205 Live, so, you know, to use his personality and his talking ability and his charisma to help out the black hole that is Bobby Lashley's personality, it should be good. But is Lashley going to go heel off of all this? I mean, I guess you could go with Lashley as a heel. Once again, you need more heels. But he's also feuding with Kevin Owens, who's, you know, the consummate heel, and his comeback with this new attitude of he can do whatever he's got permission to do whatever he wants now, and he's out to destroy the man who hurt his best friend. So it's kind of a weird mix, but I mean, Lashley does need something, and Leo Rush does. So yeah, babyface hype man is a weird role.
Yeah,
but you could always once the Kevin Owens feud is over, you could transition him to Lashley to being a heel. So he can have his rubber match with Roman Reigns down the line. That could absolutely do that. So I mean, Lashley needs something, and Rush was never going to, you know, get out of the cruiserweight division as a wrestler. So
you don't think he could get to the Rey Mysterio level of a small guy?
Is fucking crazy good. Like, I don't know if he's like ring psychology. I don't know about any of that. How fast that guy is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the skills. I actually think, I mean, Mysterio really has even when he was smaller than he is now, he kind of had a little bit of a bulky build for being a shorter gentleman. And Leo Rush is ripped up, but he's kind of like Finn Balor, that he's just a small guy. But he's even smaller than Balor.
Yeah.
By like 20 pounds.
I really liked the matches I've seen with Rush. I've really liked him just because how ridiculously quick he is. And the balance he's shown, too, is something to be admired. Like, it's just nuts to me how fast that guy can go. But he's young, too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's only like 21 or 22, something in that area. Because, yeah, he was a guy that I saw in Ring of Honor for a cup of coffee before he moved to the WWE there. So yeah, I always liked his in-ring work, but I'm with Chris too. Like, I don't know how far he really gets in the WWE world at his size.
Well, they keep trying to make a commitment to 205 Live guys to go, like, get them on TV, go on tour, have their own stuff. I mean, if
205 Live just needs to be filmed at Full Sail University, maybe some others. That I saw, I wasn't at Little Caesars Arena last weekend, but I saw the pictures. Oh my god! I mean, it wasn't a good house to begin with for WWE coming off of Labor Day weekend in Detroit, but 75% of the crowd probably left that, you know, after SmackDown ended last week. It was bad, and once again, we don't need to go that again. We talked 100 times about how horrible the atmosphere is while 205 Live is going on, even if the action in the ring is good to great.
See, what's funny is I'm trying to figure out, like, I've only had one experience with 205 Live, so I got to be, you know, honest, like, upfront with that. When we saw them in Charlotte, the SmackDown before Survivor Series, that crowd, it took a second, but that crowd really got into those matches. I don't know, maybe it's because of the area, because we're in Charlotte, but Detroit's not a bad wrestling market.
No, it's not.
So,
it's a great market. It's probably almost an underutilized market in some respects, because they went like 6 months between shows in Detroit. It was ridiculous. I did have one 205 Live experience when I was in Green Bay visiting my brother, and we went to a SmackDown taping together. This is also while they were doing Mixed Match Challenge as well. So that was a long night, ending with beginning with the most important stuff and ending with the least important stuff. Yeah, we stayed through it. It was another night where, you know, they had a decent crowd there, but maybe 1,000 people stayed for 205 Live.
Yeah, especially with 205 Live doing the Full Sail thing, or you can do Full Sail, or does WWE just finally just say, let's just build our own studio and do our own stuff. We don't have to use Full Sail. I mean, I'm sure they have some sort of working agreement, so they don't want to do that. Yeah, but that's a possibility,
I think there's a lot of advantages to using Full Sail. Yeah,
well, just talking, though, because where I was going with that was... And this is a frustration right now as well. They've got so many women to use on both shows that don't get on TV. And then they've got plenty more in the pipe, especially with all the people in the Mae Young Classic, whoever they're going to sign, the women we haven't seen. Well, I've been saying this for years, and it's my own fault. When are we finally just going to get a women's show? So if you got that, I mean... You're going to be booking up Full Sail a lot, so the idea of just building like your own little like TV show arena, just like, you know, you got for NXT. You can tape it all. You don't have to tape it all on the same day, obviously, but you can tape in the same area, and, you know, good things can come of it. And then that way, you can have a women's show. You can do the 205, and then eventually, hopefully, you can turn that into a touring brand as well. I mean, who knew NXT was going to turn into its own touring brand? It took a while, but, I mean, because look at Raw. Who was on Raw this week for the women? The Riot Squad? Bellas?
Yep.
That wasn't it. I missed something, right?
Natalia and the games and Alicia Fox. Sasha and Bayley were not on Raw this week. They didn't do any continuation with the with Dana Brooke storyline with the Titus Worldwide. Ember Moon, of course, wasn't on the show either.
Okay, so let's go to SmackDown.
SmackDown, they did a better job of having most of their women on the show in some capacity.
Yeah, because Carmella is weirdly a babyface now, at least for mixed match challenge purposes, since she's with R-Truth. Naomi and Asuka had their backstage segment. The Iconics did not have their own response to that situation.
But they were at least mentioned, and then, of course, Rebel and Marie, so I don't know if they even count. Really, then there was the Charlotte stuff. Charlotte was Sonya Deville with Manny Rose, Becky Lynch attacking afterwards. So yeah, no, SmackDown I think at least tried to utilize all their women, but once again,
but isn't the whole point?
How many shows are they going to have? And do you plan on watching? I mean, like if you say having a women's show, is it kind of a women's show for everyone who doesn't make it on Raw and SmackDown that particular week? Because you really can't do an exclusive women's show. I mean, it might work this day and age.
Yes.
But I think you still have to have the women as part of the whole, the complete package on the other big show.
Well, you can do that, yes. Yeah, I mean, that's no problem. But there are so many of them. And remember, there's also people that don't watch Raw, but they'll watch SmackDown. There are people that will watch Raw, not SmackDown. There are people that watch NXT and SmackDown, but not Raw or anything else. So there's always an audience. And if this, I'm trying to be nice about it, but this fraud of a Divas Evolution, especially now that they've brought back the Bellas to hijack the entire thing, which is, I'm sorry, it's embarrassing. You've now taken a spot away from somebody like up and coming people and given it back to Nikki and Brie Bella, two ring generals, because of merchandise. You can have the women's thing there. And you have an entire network full of what, repeats? Okay, so the only way you're gonna grow it is if you have actual real content. Now I know they have WWE story time, they've got this. But if you have, say you've got, your women's show on, I guess you can't do it Monday, to Thursdays, I guess, or start doing off block program. You got NXT and the Mae Youngs, a nice 2-hour block. But then Thursday, you got Bumpkins. There's a way to do this, and if they want to treat like the network like an actual network, these are all things that need to be considered. And I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying I got all the ideas. I got all the answers. But there's something better than not having them on TV. And especially your two main ones. I understand they kind of burned through Sasha Bailey. But your two main ones weren't even on. That's kind of bad. And I know you don't have to be on every week either. But I would just, I don't know. I prefer seeing a women's show. Because I always have.
I would think that Raw would call Rousey their main person, their main woman at this point.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think I'd count Sasha and Bayley.
Yep. Who gets her after next year? Because I assume Fox would also want her on their show as well.
Yeah, that'll
be interesting going forward. But yeah. You are right. I mean, there's the talents there to do a women's show. It could be very good, but then you have to work out, serving all these different masters, particularly your TV partners on for Raw and SmackDown. I think that it can happen. I think that they can do it. But remember, when the network first launched, they did have nightly. It wasn't all the in-ring stuff, but they did have nightly program. They moved main event to the network for a while, and they were trying to have big matches on there, at least in the beginning. they always had NXT. They had the documentary type shows, or whatever else, the Legends House and all this other stuff. They found that that stuff didn't matter. It's pay per view driven. Now they are bringing a lot of those shows back. Because for a while they weren't doing any original programming on the network because they were in major cost cutting mode until they got, you know, these TV rights deals approved and they got that Saudi money. So now they are doing more stuff, specialized stuff on the network and original programming. So maybe I've just talked myself back around.
But see, the original programming, though, was stuff that no one wanted to see. And then when they started doing with, like, wrestling content, yeah, I mean, what was the appeal of the network when we first started? Did anyone want to see? What was the show about NXT? You know, as nice as it was, cool, as much as I enjoyed it, I should say. I don't know if it was cool or not, but I liked, like, the, was it? There was one Shatner was the narrator of?
Breaking Ground.
Okay, thanks. I can't want to say Breaking Bad. I knew I was wrong. That was cool, but that's not what people signed up for a wrestling network for. You know, people wanted to see wrestling. As much as they may not want to do that, you know, they may not want to say that, that's what they want. Like, why? Like, NXT, isn't NXT the most watched show on the network, outside of pay-per-views, mind you?
Usually, yeah.
Well, I mean, get to it.
I can just go by my own viewing, but I mean, it's the wrestling stuff. Like, I even do a poor job. Like, I know that, Jeremy, you've said it to me probably a million times, that something like that Table for Three, you could really just listen to that, but I just never do. Like, the in-ring stuff gets me there far more than anything else. Now, granted, I still have 205 Live problems, but I do kind of soak up most of the specials, you know, whatever the tournament is, and NXT, along with the pay-per-views. Like, that's kind of my main thing. Like, I guess I'm not worried about going to New Japan World and watching their version of Legends House. Like, I'm just gonna go to watch whatever their wrestling event is. Like, I, you know, that's just not on my agenda. Like, I'm sure that certain people watch that, but maybe, you know, and it's sad to say because I'm sure production costs weren't that high, but maybe it just wasn't worth production costs.
Yeah, and
I think the production costs and stuff like that was probably high. I think that and the animated stuff they've done, I'm pretty sure that those have high production costs.
Yeah, animation's expensive. Yeah, but Chris, to go back to what you asked, I was like, how much wrestling do you want to watch? Or I can't remember exactly what you said, but I didn't get the gist of it, and I know what you're saying, but here's the thing, and I'm going to speak for myself. So we got 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, hour of NXT, hour of Mae Young. I actually started watching Lucha Underground again because that show's fantastic still, and in a very weird way. I've actually been trying to catch Impact again, so that's another 3 hours to be added. And then whenever I can find ROH, I'll watch that too, not including the New Japan stuff that I got on my phone or tablet, whatever else. So WWE can look at it like that, going, well, somebody like this guy is making time to find all of this wrestling content and watch it. Well, why don't we give them something to watch and try and pull them away from competition, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and add more, or we're just giving this dork more stuff to watch. You know, because I have a 205 Live problem too. I don't watch it every week.
I just can't rest. It's the atmosphere. It's everything. It just like doesn't feel like an important thing to watch. I mean the show in a 500 seat theater is that better to watch than a show with 1,000 people in an arena making absolutely no noise?
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I mean, once again, as long as it's cost effective for WWE, yeah, maybe they should do more, you know, active wrestling nights, and they have, you know, they send out those email survey things and say, do you want this show? Do you want more stuff from the UK? Do you want us to just turn a single camera? They even ask, do you want us to just turn a single camera on a house show with no commentary and just watch the house show as it's happening live? I don't think I would do that, especially since house shows are pretty uniform when they're going around the loop, you know.
Well, you know, something with a live house show thing, that would be something to me. Like, I wouldn't watch them on the regular, but there are so many times where I'm doing housework and I know I can't pay attention to something fully, but I want something on the TV. Like, that would be a time that if there wasn't a sport on TV, I'd, like, throw that on if there was a live feed of a house show. And just have it run while I'm vacuuming or whatever the fuck I'm doing.
Well, they wouldn't have commentary. Huh? That's the thing. They would just let you just, like, get a glimpse, though. I mean, and maybe the idea would be tweaked along. I mean, coming up here, we're going to have a period where they're going to be doing a bunch of shows within the next 2 months. Starting, I mean, they're supposedly, you know, not, you know, with Hell in a Cell and Super Showdown and Evolution.
Yeah.
And supposedly they're going back to Saudi Arabia in early November, and Shawn fucking Michaels might be wrestling on that guy. It's the Undertaker on that damn show. And then Survivor Series in the middle of SmackDown in the middle of November as well, along with a Takeover that same weekend. So there's, now once again, I guess that's a lot of content, a lot out there. But if you're super serving the niche, super just plug it into our veins.
Yeah, and that's where I was going with this. Like, you know, I never turned down. Like, to me, there's never too much of a good thing. So this is awesome. And maybe that's bad to say, because I say it out loud. I'm like, yeah, well, but you know, all right. So you're gonna give me more of the stuff I love. And especially if it's like on the network doesn't go up in price. You're giving me more of the stuff I love for no extra cost. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Now, if they do start throwing a lot more stuff on the network, they might go with the tiered plan to upgrade to $12.99 just to see all of it. Which I would just do.
I was like, okay, so every time Netflix goes, hey, we're going up in price, I'm like,
yeah.
It comes out of my credit card. I don't care. Just keep the shit coming. I don't care. Now, if it was going to go up to like 50 or something, yeah, then obviously that's just ridiculous. But, you know, what, $3? Okay. Hey, do you want to watch Evolve pay-per-views on the thing? Yeah, that sounds fine. Extra $3? Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I have the wrong attitude on it. But I like the things I like. Give me more? Sure. Now, if it's like, well, would you like Raw to be 4 hours? No. Not
100% no.
3 hours? Absolutely not. Can you make NXT 90 minutes? Yeah, I didn't say 2 hours. I just said 90 minutes. Because it seems like there's a lot of people there that I might like watching more often than I do. But
no.
That's about it.
Any new shows they add, just keep them to an hour on the network. Make you want more. Make you excited about next week. Leave them wanting more. I think that's been the success of NXT. It's been the success. It could be the success of 205. It was the success of the Cruiserweight Classic. The success of the Mae Young Classic. Yeah, I do think that you should, any in-ring shows you add to the network, it should only be an hour long. Building to whatever kind of special you want to build it to, or what have you, or matches on regular WWE pay-per-views, or however you want to work it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Takeover.
I always have said 90 minutes, just NXT seems to have a lot of people that aren't on a lot. But that also, I think, is what makes the takeovers so special, because they're finally all in they're all in the same place in that. So
they are all in the same place, and yeah, there's filler on those damn takeovers. Those takeovers, I'm like, you don't want that lower part of the roster to start infesting those takeovers. Nope. I mean, you know, maybe these people, these guys, these people will grow to being, you know, takeover worthy. But you don't want the takeovers going to 3 hours or more on a regular basis. The show's going to be 5 matches, even 7. And
so you tell me you want Raul Mendoza on your takeover?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's a no.
No.
Nothing against him, but whatever. He was like the first jobber that I could think of. So
yeah, that was a good one.
Yes, I know he's got so much talent. He's a jobber, so just stop. So who's the guy that's he's the finest?
Kona Reeves.
Oh, you're gonna make me sick.
God, I love that guy. Just. No.
Like,
you said it's going to make you sick. So I was like, oh, well, this is going to turn around real fast. But then Tony replaced, so I was like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, so bad.
I remember seeing him here in Concord going, okay. And then he comes out now in the new gimmick, and I just go, ugh. It's unfortunately for him, you know he's not going to stick around. And that sucks. I'm sure he really wants to make it, but nah. Maybe it'd be better if he went somewhere else for a while. I don't know. Figure something out. I know it's like what everyone says now. So
that is what all the cool kids are doing and saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Whenever they have a name that they can make money off of, which good for them. So.
Oh, man. Well, I think that this show went in some directions that we were not expecting.
No, that was good. That was good, because otherwise...
But, yeah.
I went blow-by-blow through Raw and SmackDown. Oh, that was an awful show. So thank you, Jeremy, for taking us on this wild ride.
That's what I'm here for. I actually really enjoyed this one. So, I usually do anyways.
Excellent. I'm at DeFrango 11, and since there are two other people on here and Jeremy always likes to torture Chris, I'm going to go out by saying 5 stars on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to us, and yeah, that's it for me.
Alright, gang. I don't even get a bother with Twitter anymore because I don't like it. So, we watched off of Shahid and I. I think we're back tomorrow for a new recording after our marathon from last week, 2 hours. You're welcome. And, so check us out on We Watch Stuff. And, take it easy, gang.
Later.
Oh, and I guess I forgot. OPA coming soon. Let's do it. Night.
I got nothing else coming.